Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. When our children were younger, we always took our vacations camping. First, we loved to camp. And secondly, it was frankly all we could ever afford to do. And so, for many years, Jeannie and I, especially when the kids were very young, would drive to the end of the driveway, turn right, and then flip a coin. And that would decide whether we went right or left. There was no plan. We just went. And we'd flip the coin again and just go. On one of those trips, we ended up in the forest above Estes Park in the National Park. And we found ourselves in a campground called Sugarloaf Ridge. It was beautiful. It was spectacular. We pitched our tent and we made our fire. And all around us we were surrounded by these beautiful pine trees. It was a rustic campground, and so we had a fire down there and we would sit around and toast our marshmallows, and early in the morning wake up and there would be deer rooting around in the now cold fire looking for God knows what. It was idyllic. And we went back time after time after time. And then one year, we went back. We weren't planning to camp, but we thought, oh, let's go see what that looks like, that campground. A wildfire had swept through that part of the forest. And it was unbelievable. No trees. No deer. No grass. Everything that we had remembered and loved and cherished about that campground was simply erased. It was really strange. For us, it was as if part of our history had been taken away forever. Our memories dashed. Everything changed. I suppose we didn't know it then, and probably who knows, but it was maybe a harbinger of what we are experiencing at an accelerating rate these days with climate change. Already, things were changing. The memory of that stark destruction has stuck with me for over 25 years. The strangeness of it. In our gospel lesson for today, I looked for good news. All through it, I kept hearing the words of my bishop, Andrew Taylor, who says over and over and over again, ad nauseum, be sure you're preaching the gospel. And I kept thinking, well, I need a little gospel to work with to preach it. There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, Jesus says, and the earth's distress among nations confused by the roaring of the seas and the waves, and people will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming into the world, Jesus says. The very powers of heaven will be shaken. Even the little bit of gospel that the Son of Man will be coming in a cloud with great power and glory doesn't seem all that good news to me. If with him comes destruction and suffering and pain. truly, I tell you, Jesus says, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth itself will pass away. And then the good news. But my word will not pass away. It's a tough way to start Advent. Where's the gospel there? Where's the good news? And maybe this year more than ever, I feel these words deeply because it sure has seemed over the past 2 years for me and for many that all of the things, again, that Jesus says and has said to us for 2,000 years seem particularly true right now. The uptick in gun violence in our country. The normalization of misogyny and hate. Celebration of racism. And a growingly keen awareness that our justice system works one way for some and another for others. I think many Americans would be surprised to learn that Europeans often will not travel here because they characterize our country as a terribly violent place. We are put in the same category with nations that have been at war for centuries. And not to pick just on us, I mean, these predictions, not really predictions, they're really talking, and Jesus is talking about what's already happening around him at that time. These things have always unfolded time and time again. But our attention is drawn to them in different ways. In different times. But with a worldwide epidemic of COVID that appears once again to be raising its head in a new form, with widespread poverty in countries around the world, it's hard to not get a little nervous about the gospel lesson that we read today. But we should be careful. Honestly, folks have predicted the end of time and Jesus coming year after year after year for 2,021 years. And so far, it hasn't happened. Or at least not that we've noticed. So I'm not so sure that the times that we are enduring now are any different than what folks have gone through over the centuries, but they are our times. So where is the gospel this morning? Jesus calls us to be alert and ready. Alert and ready and praying that we may have the strength to escape or endure all these things that will take place, that we might stand before the Son of Man. Strangely, the gospel comes for me this morning, not so much from Luke, but from Jeremiah, who in the midst of the destruction of his own world, his own political system, his own people, the downfall and impending downfall of a kingdom, he says, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And in those days, I will cause righteousness to spring up And David will execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved. Jerusalem will live in safety. The Lord is our righteousness. The problem is we want to interpret that, and maybe rightly so, that whatever we're enduring today will somehow come to an end in the near future, only it doesn't, really. I think the hope of Jeremiah comes together with the Gospel of Luke, that the days are surely coming now and are here, that God remains and abides with us through it all. In the midst of death and fear and danger and violence, God continues to stand with us, even when we are the perpetrators of all of those things. And maybe particularly when we fall short in our hopes for our people and our families and our church, God calls to us again and again, I am with you and I stand with you and I am your hope. The days are coming and you will be part of it. I have said so. And my word will endure. The ashes and the hurt and the hopelessness do not define either our presence or our future. Our failure and our guilt and our inaction, neither do they define us. The beauty of Advent is that we begin again. In our spirits and in our minds and in our bodies, to see again our place in the world. And we ourselves begin to be remade. As we went and visited that campground, and I realized I got the name wrong. Sugarloaf Ridge was another place. What was the name of that campground? Can't think of it. I'll think of it in a minute. I was trying last night, and I hit Sugarloaf Ridge, and that's what I stuck with. But as we wandered around in all of its barrenness, the campfire where we used to hang out at our favorite campsite, there was a single sprig, a new pine tree. Just the tiniest bit of hope springing up just outside the earth where we had stamped down and hardened the ground around the fireplace. That one little pine tree had begun to grow anew. Despite all that is happening in these days, God is still planting in us seeds of hope and bringing them to life in a world that is being recreated. Recreated in peace and justice and hope. Jeremiah doesn't say, "Boy, I hope the days are surely coming when this will all happen." He doesn't wish for it. He announces it. And that is the gospel. That God says to us, the days are surely coming, even if you can't see it or feel it or know it, and you will surely be a part of it, because in my forgiveness and love, I have called you together for the good of the world and the healing of the nations and for the restoration of the earth. We are the sprig coming up out of the ashes that the forest might be reborn. Amen. Our worship continues with our hymn of the day. Please rise in body or spirit.